WGNS, Murfreesboro.
This is FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. Rutherford County's place to talk. Stand by, Rutherford County. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Time right now, 8:17. You're tuned to WGNS on this Friday morning, and the temperature outside is holding at about 48 degrees, and now the sun is coming out. Our guest in studio this morning is Dr. Mike Courtney with Branches Counseling Center here in town. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Scott. Doing great. Thanks for asking.
You know, I noticed you brought the sunshine with you because it was not sunny before you walked in here.
It just follows me wherever I go.
That's a good trait to have.
That's right. Especially when you're in the counseling business. That's good.
That's right. We need a lot of sunshine in that business.
That's true.
So you guys are celebrating 10 years at Branches. That's a long time.
It is hard to believe. But yeah, we started Branches 10 years ago. We actually started in 2006, but our legal birthday was the 1st of January in 2007. And so 10 years later, we are just delighted to not only to be alive, but to have thrived, and God has blessed, and especially good to be a part of the community here in Rutherford County.
And you were originally on Battleground Drive.
Well, actually, we started on Armory Drive. It's kind of interesting. We moved from Armory Drive to Battleground Drive. We started on Armory Drive in a building that's now called the Integrity House. And we were there for about a year. We outgrew that building and then moved to Battleground. And we were on Battleground for almost 8 years. And we're going on our second year now on Dow Street. We're 1102 Dow. And we were able to buy the old Murfreesboro Radiology building. And it's just been a godsend. We feel at home. It's a great location, a great building. We're kind of at the end of the cul-de-sac, which is important for, you know, people that really want their privacy when they come to counseling and that kind of thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful spot, and we're glad to be there.
Yeah, the good thing about your location, nobody sees who's parked there.
Right. You know, I always say counseling offices and adult bookstores need the same kind of parking spots. They need privacy.
But it's funny how people look at counseling. They look at it as something where, I don't want anybody to know I go here. But in reality, you know, we may not all need counseling per se, but we all need somebody to talk to.
Yeah, isn't that true? That's really good. And I do think one of the great blessings that I've seen over the last decade is that the culture is changing a lot. Counseling is much more accepted. People are not only more eager to take part in it and to find help from it, but they're more open about talking about it. We have, of course, our great statement is for privacy, and I'll say to people when I meet them, everything is confidential. If I see you on the street, I won't act like we even know each other. But it never fails. I'm walking through Kroger's and somebody will say, "Hey, there's my counselor. How are you doing?" So I think that's changing quite a bit, but we still have a ways to go for people to understand that it is a part of mental health. I mean, it's part of health, just mental health as physical health would be, and there's no stigma attached to being willing to admit you have a need and finding help.
Now, how do counselors do that? Because I've always heard, well, you know, if I'm your counselor, I promise I'll act like I don't know you if I see you. How do you go about doing that? And do you ever have to actually do that, or do most people come up to you and say, "Hey, Mike, how are you?"
You know, most of the time, people will initiate, and I always say that, if you initiate the conversation, I'd love to talk to you. Most of the time they do, but it is funny. Every once in a while, I'll walk through Demas's or something, and somebody will duck their head and head the other way. When they do come up, I introduce them to my wife. I'll say, "This is my friend," and Dora says, "You have thousands of friends." I said, "I know. They're all my friends." So yeah, it just kind of becomes a matter of fact that we don't talk about those things, and I think that's important. I think people need to have a safe place, someplace they can trust.
And you know, I guess inside the walls of the counselor's office, that's one of the safest places you'll be, because whatever somebody tells you, you're not going to go out there and you know, gossip or whatever the case is.
You know, one of the things that's helpful, and for me especially, I think, Scott, I have this feeling that most counselors get into the counseling profession because they've had some need in their own life. They've had some kind of experience where finding help and being able to talk about it was important to them. And so for me, because of my own story, and my story is recovery from addiction, and it nearly cost me my marriage, my home, my career, everything. So because of that, it's pretty easy to sit and talk to someone in my office and not feel shocked or not to judge or condemn. Most of the time I hear somebody's story and I want to say, is that all you got? Man, I can tell you a lot worse than that.
And, you know, it's wild because so many people have stories of addiction or abuse in the past that they never reveal. And sometimes when they do reveal the stories, it's when they're 30, 40, 50
right,
years old.
Right.
Maybe 40 years after something happened.
Yeah. I love the 12 steps, and there's a 12-step wisdom that says every time you tell your story, your shame is cut in half. And most of the time, we carry that shame for so long. The reason we don't tell the story is because we have kind of reimagined it. We've taken responsibility for it. We feel to blame. Even if abuse happened to us, we feel like somehow it was our fault or something wrong with us for that having taken place. And so to be able to get that out, to be able to vent that, to clear the deck, I always say, is one of the most healthy things you can do. And it is a shame that we very often wait so long to begin to do that.
Now, once someone starts revealing their past, talking to you about their addiction, talking to you about their abuse, I mean, there's got to be a bumpy road there in the beginning, reliving mm-hmm. everything.
Right. Well, there is, and that, again, that's why it's so important to make sure that they understand this is a safe place, that you're not going to be judged, condemned, you're not going to hear it on WGNS, that, you know, that this is a safe place to be. And then also to recognize that you get to set the pace. You know, we have no particular agenda that says you have to go this far this fast. So people will kind of self-disclose at their own pace and in their own timing. And that's usually the healthiest way to allow them to do that.
You know, just talking to somebody, revealing those secrets, that does an amazing thing in itself. I mean, just getting that initial story mm-hmm. out there yeah. to somebody who's listening, that's healing in itself. I mean, before you get to any steps of what you need to do next,
it
does help out.
One of my favorite encounters always is when that client has come in. It's about the second or third time we've met. And they come in, and finally, they just begin to unload. And for an hour, they'll just sit and talk almost nonstop. And then when they leave, they'll say, oh, you helped me so much today. What you said was just wonderful. And I think to myself, I didn't say anything. I just sat and listened.
Yeah.
People are hungry to be heard. They're just hungry to have somebody to listen to them.
You know, I think that's something that most of us need to remember. Sometimes we just need to pause and just be quiet and listen
yeah.
to somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. To not be afraid of silence is really important, to give people time to talk. And, one of the things I admire about you, we've talked about quite a bit, your willingness to help the homeless. And I admire that so much. But I think one of the things that probably happens in that, even as you're taking pictures, is that you just listen and they find somebody that they can tell their story to. Quite honestly, I could work myself out of a job, and I'd be glad to do that if just as a culture we learn to be more empathetic, to listen more, to take the time to really be interested in other people's stories. I think the need for counseling would go way, way down.
And, you know, I've heard some just crazy stories from people over the years. While I'm no counselor, but I have heard just some horrible events that people have gone through.
Right.
One person I met, they were molested and raped by yeah. their uncle back when they were 10, 11 years old.
Right.
And they lived with it up until they were about 50 before right. finally revealing it. And they revealed it, went to the police and everything, and the uncle admitted to it, but he wasn't arrested because of the statute of limitations.
Right.
But, you know, just revealing that kind of stuff from your childhood does wonders. And the stories that I hear are stories often right here in Rutherford County. And that's the hard part, I think, for people to believe and understand, is that tragic things have happened to families right here in our own community.
Right.
Even though we're, you know, I know we're not small anymore, but we still have that small town feeling, I think.
Yeah, and a great community. I mean, I love Murfreesboro, I love Rutherford County, and feel like it's one of, you know, it's a great safe place to raise kids. I'm so glad my grandkids are here. Love that. But like any other community, we have our share of hurt and tragedy and dark secrets. And again, that's why I think Branches is so has done so well in this community, because we have been open to allow people to tell those stories and to feel like that not only are they heard and is there value in that, but also there's some wisdom that we can offer. There's some things that are worth sharing. Because it's important to hear, it's important to listen, but then it's important to be able to offer something on the other side of that. If it's no more than, okay, here's the next step you should take, here's who you talk to about that, here's a phone number of somebody that can help you with that. So the wisdom side is important as well.
Dr. Mike Courtney is with us today with the Branches Counseling Center here in Murfreesboro. What are you most often seeing? I mean, when people come in, is it depression? Is it bipolar disorder? Is it schizophrenia? Mm-hmm. What do you see on a regular basis?
Well, we have 12 counselors in the Murfreesboro office. We have four offices, one in Greenbrier, Tennessee, one in Mount Juliet, Tennessee, here in Murfreesboro, and one in St. Augustine, Florida. We have about 20 counselors altogether and about 12 here in Murfreesboro. We see, I think, probably 1,200 people a month. So we see across the board, almost everything you can imagine we see. By far, maybe always, but particularly over the last few years, by far, depression and anxiety seem to be the two things that are most prominent. I think that has something to do with our culture. It has something to do with the fast pace of life. It has something to do with the information age that we live in, that you can turn on the internet and, this is not an attack, but I used to love Facebook. Now I hate to turn on Facebook because it's just one negative thing after another. All of those things have a cumulative effect, and the anxiety level rises, the sense of hopelessness rises. So depression and anxiety are by far the more prominent things that we see.
And you know, depression can be so hard. I mean, it can draw you to your knees, make it so you don't want to walk outside.
Right.
I mean, it can be tough. And for those who have never experienced any level of depression, I think it's hard for the general public to understand how bad depression can be, how it can make your whole body ache, have stomach aches.
Absolutely.
And on and on and on.
Right. Oh, absolutely. There are physical symptoms, emotional symptoms. Obviously, it affects us relationally, spiritually, in every way. And if you can imagine, Scott, any kind of disease, diabetes or cancer, anything like that, and one of the prominent symptoms would be trying to make you think that you can't get help. So I get cancer, and one of the symptoms of cancer would be I'm not going to the doctor. The doctor can't help me. Well, depression is that unique disease that one of the primary things that happens is I begin to think, this is hopeless. I need to isolate. I don't want to talk to anybody about it. So the disease becomes almost self-perpetuating, and very difficult to draw people out of that desire to crawl under the covers and not come out again.
You know, here in Rutherford County, we have had three very public suicides in the past 4 months.
Right.
When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about that, because I noticed whenever those news stories came up and were posted on Facebook, the comments under those news stories, some of them were just so heartless to me,
right.
And damaging, I would say, to the family, the surviving family.
Yeah.
Nobody knows what people are going through prior to suicide. But let's talk a little bit about that when we come back. Our guest today, Dr. Mike Courtney with Branches Counseling Center here in Murfreesboro. Time right now is 8:31.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants and Peter D's Restaurants. One of the changes we recently made on the Demas's menu has been fish. We added a rotational fresh catch. All of our fish is made with either the Demas's seasoned salt or the Peter D's Cajun seasoning, which both are available to sell inside each of the restaurants. We grill it so that the flavors of the moisture stay in within each of the fish. So some of the fish can rotate from grouper, grilled catfish, to red snapper. It's perfect for when you're trying to eat healthy. We have options, too, where you can have it grilled in olive oil for those who are really watching their weight and on a very strict diet. And then you can come back the next week and likely get another fish so that you're not always stuck with eating the same thing over and over and over again that sometimes we have a tendency to do when we're trying to eat healthy. The assortment of fish that's there and the grilled chickens and the salads that we have, you can eat healthy. This is Peter Demas, and I want to invite your family to come join our family at Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street in Murfreesboro.
I'm Dan Mitchell. I do the setups and repairs at Music World and Drummer's Den. We have an excellent selection of Martin and Taylor, Paul Reed Smith, Gretsch guitars, Alvarez, and we have all kind of trade-ins, every model, shape, and description you can think of. Lessons on keys, every stringed instrument. We have drum lessons. We can do every repair you need, setups, make your guitar play as good as it possibly will. Music World and Drummer's Den, 2762 South Church Street, across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
We're talking with one of the younger customers at Bell Jewelers here in Murfreesboro. So I understand you're shopping for Mom.
I'm picking Mom a new bracelet.
I bet Mom would like a new bracelet. That sounds perfect.
I'm going to get her something special.
I bet you love your mom.
I love Mommy.
Bell Jewelers, the perfect place to shop for Mom, your girlfriend, your husband, your boyfriend. Doesn't matter who. Everybody loves Bell Jewelers. Bell Jewelers in Murfreesboro on Broad Street across from Toots, a local tradition for over 135 years.
Lay it again, sports!
Your football headquarters.
From Under Armour, Shutt, and Reebok, we've got all the gear you'll need for youth football. From pants, helmets, pads, down to the gloves and mouth guards, you'll find everything you need at Play It Again Sports on North Thompson Lane.
Air Watch Traffic.
Good morning as we keep updated with traffic. Sure, there's been a couple of accidents this morning, but I don't think you need to start scrambling for an alternate route. It is busy, of course, still for a few more minutes. It's 24 out through the Hickory Hollow area. Stop and go already out here now. The construction, we're going to have to deal with this all day up and down Memorial Boulevard here at Broad Street. If you want it done right, the first time when your car gets damaged, take it to Alliance Auto Body at 420 Rice Street. You can call Butch or Billy Joe today at 217-7770. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local Rough Country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
The Action Line on FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, and WGNSradio.com. We're Rutherford County's place to talk.
Time right now, 8:34. Sunny skies right now, 49 degrees. You're tuned to WGNS. Dr. Mike Courtney with us today, and he is with Branches Counseling Center looking around trying to find where the sun is. It's out there, I promise.
It is.
Now, before our break, I mentioned something about the recent suicides we've had here in Rutherford County, and those three that we had were very public, all in the I-24 corridor.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, we've also had multiple other suicides in the last couple of months, you know, within the walls of a house or somebody found in a car. I mean, we have had a lot of suicide cases, and it seems to be on the rise here in Middle Tennessee. But you look at Facebook and you see some of the comments people have made, such as, you know, how can someone take no disregard for other people's lives and just jump into the middle of traffic? But I don't think somebody who is contemplating death is even thinking about anything around them. They can't. Their mind just can't grasp what's going on around them. And that's what depression does to you. It locks you into this place where you can't think about anything outside of your own world.
Right. Yeah, getting rid of your own pain, escaping from that kind of becomes the predominant thought. It also, Scott, so skews our ability to think and to reason. You know, you used to hear a lot, and maybe still do, that people would say, well, suicide is the most cruel thing that you can possibly do. But your ability to think and reason is so flawed by that point that it actually, in many cases, seems like the right thing to do. It really seems like this would be more helpful to anybody, to everybody else, than anything else I can do. There again, I think that's why it's so important to have somebody to talk to that feels safe, that you can discuss some of those issues, and then to hear some wisdom on the other side and to be offered alternatives. One of the things at Branches that we that's important to us, we are faith-based. We don't cram that down anyone's throat. That's not all that we do. But it at least as a platform from which to offer some kind of hope, to say there is a better alternative, there is a way out of this, and to try to make people understand that that there are things that we can do together to help you get through this pain in a far more productive and obviously less destructive way than suicides. I think it's really important if you know someone that's considering that, someone that even just talks about it. Again, another kind of wives' tale is, well, if someone talks about it, they're not really going to do it. That's just not true. If someone just talks about it, it's important to be proactive and take steps and say, I really want you to talk to somebody. We need to get some help. Let's visit with a pastor or a close friend or a teacher or somebody and begin to work through these issues before it becomes a news story that's terribly tragic.
You know, I don't want to make it sound too simple, but if somebody talks to you about buying a new car, they're talking about the different colors they're looking at, chances are they're going to buy a new car.
Yeah, that's true.
Same thing with bad stuff like suicide. If they're talking about it, then they're thinking about it.
Right.
I mean, so the next step would be going through with it, and you want to stop them before they get to that point.
Right.
And I think somebody who is in that deep, dark depression, I think, you know, the chemicals in the brain are not lining up correctly.
Right.
There's just so much going on there that the outside world cannot understand.
Mm-hmm.
And that person does need to get help.
Yeah.
And you need to encourage them.
We have a very simple test that we administer, and I think it's something that every layperson can keep in mind. We call it the SLAP test, and that's an acronym. If someone is suicidal, if they're talking about suicide, the second thing that the second criteria would be, are they talking about something that's lethal? You know, someone says, I'm going to go jump in the Stones River, where there are some places it's only 6 inches deep, so he's just going to get wet. It's not lethal. But it, do that, is it lethal? The third thing is it available? Do they have? Do you have a gun at home? Have you been? Do you have a collection of sleeping pills? That kind of thing. Is it available? And then finally, do they have a plan? I'm thinking I'm going to drop my daughter off at day school. Her father is at work. He'll pick her up. They have a plan. If those things, or even three of those four things, are in place, then we intervene. We feel like we have to take some steps to make sure that this person doesn't go through with that, because the chances are they are close enough that they would become a statistic or a news story, and we just don't want that to happen. I would much rather, and I'm not talking about as a counselor now, but as a friend, as a parent, as a neighbor, I would much rather err on the side of being too reactive than to not respond and something happen. And I wish that I had taken that more seriously. I wish I'd followed through on that conversation. One other thing, we talked a little bit about Facebook. I think those same things can be true even on social media, that I can pick, and I know it's harder to maybe to identify even who we're talking to, but I can pick up some things that frighten me a little bit and say to that person, I really think, you know, could we meet for coffee? I think it's important that we talk through some of this. Don't let those things go by without at least addressing them and making the person come to grips with the thoughts that's running around in their beady little brains.
Now, if we see one of our friends comment something quite negative on Facebook,
yeah,
it sounds like they're in a very hard place.
Right.
They're going through a lot. They're struggling. Should we, as their friend, send them a message, or should we call them and say, hey, man, let's get together?
Yeah. Well, you know, social media is such a, we need to talk to your kids, my grandkids. They can tell us more about social media. Social media is such an interesting phenomenon. And there is probably a lot more community there than we older folk realize. But I still lean towards physical contact, towards face-to-face interaction. I still think that by far the best thing would be to say, you know, could we meet for coffee? Let's walk on the greenway and talk through some of these things. There's something about physical presence. We were talking about this earlier in dealing with depression, certainly where suicidal ideation is present. Isolation, withdrawing, aloneness, all of those things are such primary factors in this, that it's crucial to break through that by saying, let's get face to face. You know, I want to be in a place where I can put my hand on your shoulder, where we can, you know, I can look you in the eye, and we can really have an empathetic kind of time where you understand you're not in this alone.
You know, people out there listening, they've got the ability to change a life for the positive by doing something that we talked about earlier that is hard to do for some folks, and that is sitting down and listening.
Yeah, that's true.
it's amazing what can be done by you just listening to somebody, and somebody can turn their whole life around just by you being quiet. I know that sounds crazy to say, but often folks will walk through their own problems out loud with you if you let them.
Right. You know, interesting enough, I found out that's a pretty good idea even in marriage. That sometimes, if I'll just listen to my wife, it's amazing how much better things go in our home. Yeah, there's just a. I know it's a silly old adage, but it really is true. God gave us two ears and one mouth, and if we would make it a point to listen twice as much as we talk, and to really listen, to listen actively. You know, most of the time when you and I are talking, we're formulating our response. I'm thinking of what I want to say. I hope Scott hurries up and gets done so I can say what I want to say, as opposed to really sit and listen and lean into that. And tell me more about that. Can you explain how that made you feel? Those things are crucial. And that's not relegated only to the realm of counselors. That's important in every human interaction.
Simply turn to them and listen when they say something.
Yeah, yeah. It's healing. And it's amazingly healing for us. You know, I walk away from those conversations, again, not in the counseling office, in the grocery store, on the golf course, in the tennis court. I walk away from those conversations where I have really listened and feel better about myself. I feel healthier for having taken the time to hear another human being and to be heard.
You know, last night I was ready for bed. I was tired. It was 9 o'clock. My son came in there, and he wanted to talk about his favorite subject. He's 15, which would be cars. and so he was just going on and on, naming all these high-end cars, telling me how cool they were, what the options come with. And,
that's neat.
You know, this is pretty neat. It's a Ferrari and blah, blah, blah. And I was kind of ignoring him about it. And then I thought, you know what? I'm going to look at him. I'm going to acknowledge everything
Good
he's
for
saying.
You, Scott. Yeah.
And so then I started actively listening, and you could tell he was happy. He was excited about it. And that's true with every human being out there, not just our kids. If you just listen and acknowledge what they're saying and turn to them, then you're going to make their day.
Right. Well, and it certainly says something for you that he's even interested in engaging with you. I mean, good for you that he wants to have that conversation with Dad. By the way, it makes me feel really old that you have a 15-year-old son.
To be 16.
But yeah, I think to offer those moments of really listening or really being heard, it makes them feel valuable. It gives them a sense of worth. It adds credibility to the things that they're thinking. Or a lot of times, I confess, I'm a person that thinks out loud. And so it allows them to clarify their own thoughts by going through that. That's true with our kids. It's true with our spouses. It's true with the people that we meet on the street. That if we would just take the time to listen, we make them a better person, and we're better for having done that.
And we're always going to mess up. We're always going to have those moments where we're going to say, son, enough right now. I've heard all about it. But, you know, we're all going to do that every once in a while, and that's okay. We make mistakes, you know. We just move on past it, and the next time the conversation comes up, talk back. You know, listen.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think the other side of listening is to approach it with candor, to be honest and truthful. And so it's okay for me to say, you know, I say to my wife often, you know, sweetheart, after about 9:30 at night, I can't put two rational thoughts together. So if we want to have a long, deep conversation, we need to do it before the 10 o'clock news comes on. Or to say to our kids, you know, Dad's got a project he's working on, but tomorrow let's take a walk and let's talk about this. Now we have to follow through. Even that becomes very valuable. So your son goes away thinking, I'm important enough to my dad that he's willing, first of all, to tell me the truth right now, but secondly, to set aside time to talk to me tomorrow. So I don't think there's anything wrong with being honest and saying, now's not a good time to listen, but I really do want to. I want to hear you, so let me make sure. Just a side note, I know I sound like an old fuddy-duddy that's complaining about all the modern things, but our cell phones, our iPads, those kind of things have made listening a real lost art, because I think I can listen and text and, you know, listen and keep up with what's going on WGNS at the same time. But I can't. I really can't. And so to lay those things aside, to sit knee to knee, face to face, to look into someone's eyes. That's the kind of listening that we're talking about that's really important.
By the way, our phone number is 615-893-1450. We'll go ahead and take a phone call real quick here. Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Good morning.
How
God,
are you?
Do you guess? You're talking about a great conversation. I'm going to invite anybody listening every Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. Come and go with me to Bible class at Smith Fork Tabernacle. Everybody listen, know we call it a tabernacle. I didn't think Shiloh, right up in MTSU. You know what has become a thing now? You all may not believe this, but the devil is tricky. Mm-hmm. You know what they do? A lot of time we run into a thing that a lot of people have been in church all of their life, but they are afraid to stand up, speak out when they have issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the problems going on right now. It's beginning to be a thing like, if I can't quote it just like the Bible, I'm embarrassed to stand up and even praise God. This is what's going on now.
Yeah.
God, this is serious. You all got a serious conversation going on, because when the lady jumped off the bridge the other day, it shook Murfreesboro.
Yeah.
But you know what? You all would be surprised the people that is headed that way.
Right.
That
right.
We know. But you all saying one thing. People got to be free. Well, they can, you know, if you're their friend, you would tell them the truth.
Well, that's good. That's really good. And, you know, one of the things that the listener, the caller brings up, I think is so important. And I mentioned, Scott, that we operate kind of from a faith-based perspective, and that's really important. It's also important to acknowledge our own humanity, our own frailness. Like you said, we are going to mess up. And very often in our churches, if we're not careful, we all put on our Sunday best. We put on our clean shoes, and we come in, we look our best. And so people feel unable to really say, this is how I feel. This is what's going on. I'm dealing with some struggles. And they're embarrassed to admit that in front of their congregation or their Sunday school class or their church group. So to be able to do that, to listen, but to listen honestly and openly, say, man, I have struggled with that kind of thing. We're not perfect here. We're just forgiven. I think those things are really important. And, man, I appreciate the caller so much bringing that to our attention. We have to listen, but we also have to tell the truth about our own stuff. It makes it easier for other people to talk about it.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yes, sir. Have a good day. I'm still listening. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling. Our number again, 615-893-1450. You know, if we do put on our Sunday best, go to church, and somebody does come to us in church and say, hey, look, I've been struggling with such and such. Often because we're wearing our Sunday best, we may turn our nose up and kind of judge that person,
right,
which is something that does happen every Sunday.
Right. I hope, Scott, I think this is true. I hope that we don't do that intentionally, that's not our plan, but we can come across that way. We can just portray this holier than thou, got it all together, I have this all figured out. And so to really take the time to go the other way and say, man, I do understand that. I've been through that kind of thing. Again, we're listening. We're not talking. But there are some times where it's important to just interject a quick story. I've been through that. My wife and I struggled a few years ago, and here's how we found help. I think that's crucial. I don't mean for this to be a plug, but it sure is a good place for a plug. It's also important to have some resources and to be able to say to somebody, why don't you call this group? Here's a phone number. Here's somebody I have heard that can help you. And so to have resources at your fingertips is valuable in those kinds of conversations.
And Branches Counseling Center is one of those places they can call and get an appointment, sit down and meet with somebody.
Well, yeah, and that's what we want to be. Branches came about, again, because of my own story and my own addiction and nearly losing my family and all of that. And two of the things that are at the forefront of what we do, number one is, I mentioned a couple of times, this desire to bring together the very best in state-licensed therapy with the spiritual component. I tell people all the time, when I was going through my own struggles, I went to great counselors, but they didn't understand the spiritual side of it, so very often they didn't know how to address that. by the same token, I was anointed with oil so many times I slipped off the couch when I tried to sit down because it wasn't just a spiritual issue. So to bring those two things together was really important. The second thing is the financial component. And so the kind of motto at Branches is that we never turn anyone away. And if finances, and very, very often the people that you and I are talking about, the choices they've made, the decisions that they made in life have got them to a place where finances are a real issue. So our mission, our motto is that we never turn anyone away. If they call and they don't have the financial ability to see a counselor, we still make sure we see them. We see about 80% of the people that we see are on some kind of financial assistance, and probably 20 to 25% come for $10 or less. It's a very, very reduced fee. But we are a ministry, and our desire is to minister to people, not to be a for-profit, money-making endeavor.
Dr. Mike Courtney on the air with us this morning with Branches Counseling. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, go ahead.
Oh, yes. Sometimes I go up there to VA.
To the VA.
And, you know, most times, they turn you away.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I can tell you, I got just tired of it, so I deal with it every day, post-traumatic stress syndrome. And I can see it's hard to talk to people when people don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard when you go to a place when they say they can't help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
And like I told him, I'm not wasting no more of my money. I just can't deal with it. I don't sleep good at night. So I deal with it on my own, like a lot of vets do, and a lot of vets kill themselves.
Right.
The whole nine yards. They do that all day, every day.
Yeah. Now, post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, is you know, one of the plagues of the day. And we see it very often in veterans and those that have given a part of their life to protect our freedoms. It happens, we were talking earlier about people who have been abused in the past, that kind of trauma. So PTSD is more and more common in people that we talk to. And I love the VA. I'm grateful for the VA system and what they do in our country. It's probably kind of the economy of scale that they see so many people and run so many people through there that it's difficult to have those long connected conversations that you really need to have when you're going through that kind of thing. So Branches in no way intends to take the place of the VA mental health system, but to be a supplement to that. And I would really encourage you to consider someplace like Branches, like the Guidance Center here in town, that are places that the Integrity House I mentioned earlier, the Pastoral Counseling Center, they're places that are willing to sit down and listen and talk through this. There's also some specific treatments for PTSD, EMDR is a very effective modality. It's eye movement desensitization reprocessing, and we do that at Branches, other places that can help people who have struggled with PTSD in the past. So, I appreciate what the listener's saying, the frustration. I would just encourage you not to try to handle it on your own, not to give up, but there's help out there. We just have to keep pursuing it.
Oh, I'm not going to give up because I was a firefighter for 10 years.
Yeah.
On top of that.
Good.
I mean, I traveled 49 states and worked. But there's sometimes when, like a flashback or something like that comes up.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you calling and being willing to talk about that. That's one of the marks of great courage that I'm just willing, even on the radio, to step up and say this is something I've dealt with. We'd love to try to help, love to talk to you, and probably before we're done here today, we'll give a phone number and perhaps we can be a source of help for you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling this morning. Mike, you want to go ahead and give that phone number out so people can call in if they need to, call you later on?
Sure. Branches is 615 615- 904-7170, 615-904-7170. We also have a website, branchescounselingcenter.com, branchescounselingcenter.com, and there are some tabs that say what we do, who we are, those kinds of things. We offer programs like intensive outpatient programs where people would come and stay for a week, and we have people that come from all over the country for those kinds of things. We do counseling on a day-to-day basis. We're trying to do some proactive things. We're doing – actually, I'm leaving here to go do a men's retreat for a lot of our guys that have come through Branches this weekend. So we're trying to do some things that are proactive as well. But wherever we can help, we really want to do that.
Again, Dr. Mike Courtney with us this morning from Branches Counseling Center, celebrating 10 years now. And the phone number again, 904-7170,
right.
615 area code.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody listening who is in need of help of some kind as far as battling depression, PTSD, whatever it is, they ought to give you guys a call.
Absolutely. And I would say not only you, but someone you know, you can make a phone call for them and get that process going.
So as we close out today, I guess the major thing here that we should walk away with is next time somebody talks to you, be it some guy at the grocery store,
right.
Listen.
Just listen. Oh, that's great, Scott. Yeah, just listen. Yeah.
I mean, that can turn around the life in its own, I would say.
I think it makes a difference for them. As we've said, it makes a difference for you. And I kind of have this sneaking suspicion that we can make the world a better place by, you know, everything you learned in kindergarten, that kind of thing, by just taking the time to enter into someone else's story and to allow them to share with you the things that are going on. I encourage you to be a good listener.
Sounds good. Time right now, 9 o'clock. You've been listening to WGNS's Action Line with our guest, Dr. Mike Courtney from Branches Counseling Center. Stay with us. Local news followed by CBS News next.